Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gorfine, Schiller & Garden podcast series. Today we're speaking with John Lyons, an officer with Gorfine, Schiller & Garden, about the impact and changes to the new tax laws for homeowners. And John, how are you doing today?
Doing very well, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks for joining us. And let's jump right in. So tell us about the new tax law and the limits with regards to interest a homeowner may deduct in determining taxable income.
Well, the new law has made some significant changes associated with that. And in the past, we were able to deduct interest for loan principal balances of up to $1 million on both a principal residence and a vacation home. Prior to December 15th, 2017, you can still do that. So if you have a loan balance on both your principal residence and your vacation property that doesn't exceed $1 million, you will be able to continue to deduct the interest on those loans. However, if you take a loan after December 15th, 2017, the new limit will be $750,000. So in the event that sometime after that time frame you were to take a new loan, you would have to review and make sure that the principal balances of both loans was less than $750,000 in order to fully deduct your interest. In the event that the amount exceeds $750,000, the computations are not all that complex, although you might want to seek the help of a professional in order to determine how much of your interest is deductible. Also, be careful of refinancing. You might find yourself, if you had a loan that was grandfathered, that is a loan that was taken out prior to December 15th, 2017, so you had the $1 million limit. If you refinance that loan, that $1 million grandfathered limit only lasts as long as the previous life of that loan. So as an example, were you to take a 15-year loan out prior to December 15th, 2017, the $1 million limit would apply to that loan, but only for 15 years. If you refinance that loan, say, after December 15th, 2017, for a 30-year period, then the new $750,000 limit would apply to all periods after the length of the original loan. So it's something that you really want to be careful of when you're thinking in terms of refinancing.
Got it. Great insights there. So tell us about the changes with regards to deducting the interest on home equity loans.
Unfortunately, home equity loans, which many taxpayers have been using to finance the purchase of both education, cars, all sorts of other types of assets that or vacations, et cetera, so that they could deduct interest after the credit card interest was no longer deductible, that has been closed. That was a tax planning option that was generally offered by many advisors, and that is no longer available. The Congress has decided to disallow all interest on both HELOCs and home equity loans. A HELOC would be a home equity line of credit. Now, if you use that money when you borrowed on your home equity to improve your residence, that's a different story, and that would now be added to your other indebtedness associated with either your principal residence or your vacation home to determine whether you were in excess of the $1 million limit or the $750,000 limit were that to apply to you. So it's a new change, and it is retroactive. So there is no grandfather provision here, and you will not be able to deduct interest on home equity loans, the funds for which have been used anything other than to improve your residence. Those amounts will no longer be deductible. It's a big change, and it's a big problem for a lot of taxpayers, I think.
Yeah, for sure. That's really interesting. So tell us real quick about real estate tax deduction limits.
Well, what's happened is that the real estate tax deduction has been combined with the state and local income tax deduction and limited to $10,000. So going forward, any taxpayer will add together both their state and local income tax that they've withheld on their W-2 or other amounts that they've paid through estimated payments, and their real estate taxes. They'll add all that together, both from any real estate that is not being used for rental or other business purposes. They'll add those all together, and they will not be able to deduct an amount that exceeds $10,000. So in high-tax states like Maryland, that's going to be a real reduction for most taxpayers in terms of their ability to deduct their real estate taxes and or state and local income taxes.
Interesting. Have you seen any changes with regard to the moving expense deduction or reimbursement?
Yes, Matt. Unfortunately, those have been relegated to the waste heap. Those are no longer deductible. And the only people that will be able to deduct moving expenses or exclude reimbursements from their employer, if that were to be the case, is the military. In the past, subject to certain rules and distance requirements, if your employer reimbursed you for moving expenses or you incurred moving expenses, they would be either excludable from income or deductible. Unfortunately, that's no longer the case, and any moving expenses will either be includable in your taxable income if they're reimbursed by your employer or non-deductible in the event you incur them yourself. It's a big change, and it's going to affect a lot of taxpayers, I believe.
Wow. You know, let's shift real quick. You know, tell us about the updates with regard to personal casualty loss deductions. What are those?
Well, again, those deductions are gone. It used to be, if a tree fell on your house and you were uninsured or if the insurance didn't cover enough, you might be able to get a deduction for the loss in the value of the house to the extent that you made a payment to repair it. That's no longer available. So unless you are in a federally declared disaster area, Houston, Florida come to mind, you will no longer be able to deduct any casualty losses that occur to your residents in an unforeseen act of God or other circumstance. So, again, an unfortunate change for the homeowner.
Yeah, indeed. So, overall, any new changes in the new law if you actually sell your house?
Well, luckily, that did not change. Both the House and Senate did have some more restrictions there, but luckily, that has not changed. So, under the current law, you can exclude $250,000 if you're a single taxpayer, $500,000 if you're married filing joint. And that's if you've lived in the home as a principal resident 2 out of the last 5 years. So it's a pretty good break for the taxpayer. And as long as you've lived in the home as your principal residence for the last 2 years, you can exclude quite a lot of gain. And that pretty much includes everybody. And it's a good tax break for pretty much the entire country. So I think it's a solid move to keep that in place.
Excellent, excellent. Now, can you tell us briefly about converting a rental property into a personal residence? And any changes with regards to that with the new law?
No, there haven't been. It's just important to realize that the rules associated with converting your beach or mountain property into a principal residence are somewhat complex. You have a couple of issues associated with both recapture of depreciation and issues associated with non-qualified use. So in order to apply the $250,000 or $500,000 exemptions on the gain, there are a number of computations that you're going to have to make, and I would advise you, obviously, to contact a qualified professional to do so.
Excellent. Now let's flip the coin a little bit. How about the conversion of a personal residence into a rental property?
Well, there's two issues there. One is the short-term rental in preparation for sale, and as long as you've lived in the residence 2 out of the last 5 years as your principal resident, you're going to be fine. You'll be able to exclude the gain. You'll have to tax any depreciation you've taken, but you will not find yourself in a place where you will lose your $250,000 or $500,000 exemption. The other option is to have a longer-term rental and convert the property and to utilize the like-kind exchange provisions of the code in order to basically exchange that property for another property that you might be interested in. So in the event that you find another property that you prefer to own, you might be able to trade the current property for the new one and avoid tax on that transaction. So, again, you're going to have to seek professional help in order to accomplish that. But it is certainly a very good option for most, for a lot of people, and it's preserved in the new law.
Excellent. You know, John, I know we covered off on a lot of things, and there's a lot going on with these tax law changes for homeowners. But before we sign off today, is there anything to add, anything we may have missed?
Well, Matt, I think that the most important thing here to recognize about home ownership is, and the most troubling, actually, with regard to the changes, is the limitation on the real estate tax deduction. It's something people are going to have to be very aware of and plan ahead for. In addition, I think that the new limitation of $750,000 may impact a lot of taxpayers with vacation residences, beach properties, mountain properties, et cetera, throughout the country. And so I think those are going to be our big issues, and those are going to be the more complex issues that we're going to be dealing with as we kind of wade our way through the new tax law. Thanks, Matt.
God, no, thank you, John. That's a perfect wrap. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Gorfein, Schiller & Garden podcast interview with John Lyons, who's an officer with the firm. And John was kind enough to share his pretty deep insights on the impact and changes to the new tax law for homeowners. And John, thank you so much for your time today.
Again, thanks, Matt.